The Prime Minister has promised that more women will be elevated in his ministry and his cabinet. It's unclear yet whether he'll make changes to key women's policies, though, like paid parental leave or superannuation. A Senate inquiry looking at economic security for women in retirement is due to report early next year. Advocates are pushing for changes in this area. A Women and Work Parliamentary Friendship Group was formed in August. It's part of an alliance called the Economic Security for Women. The chair of that alliance is Sandra Cook, who joins us from Perth this morning. Sandra, good morning. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Economic Security for Women is lobbying for a better economic future for women. How do we achieve this? What's top of your list for what you would like the government to do to achieve this?
The most necessary thing to do is to improve our access to childcare. We know that the government is trying, but it has to be done in combination with a changed and better paid parental leave scheme, Fran, because they are the two major barriers to women coming back to work at all ages and at any stage of their career.
Well, the government currently has a proposal to change the current paid parental leave scheme coming into the parliament. That was Tony Abbott's change to prevent parents, women in particular, so-called double dipping. That's going to wind back the amount of payments that some women get, the amount of weeks some women will be paid to stay off work with their babies. There's a new Prime Minister in town. Will you be urging the Prime Minister to scrap that policy?
We will certainly be securing as much access to decision makers around that we can in the very near future. It's a vexed topic. The thing about economic security for women is that we represent women who are employers, who are employees, who are self-employed. They all do have different childcare requirements, and we need to make sure that we have a scheme that will suit all of them. Not one hat fits all, but that can really bring them the care that they want, whether they're a 3-day a week part-time worker up to a 60-hour a week contractor.
There's been fairly widespread approval, I think, of the childcare changes the government's planning, but it says it has to pay for that with the winding back of the scrapping of the so-called double dipping on paid parental leave. So that's a deal, a bargain that's been struck. In that bargain, do you support the emphasis on childcare if the only way to get that money to pay for those extra childcare and that changed childcare arrangements is through winding back the paid parental leave scheme?
No, we certainly did not support winding back the paid parental leave scheme as it was. We've always lobbied for 26 weeks, which is the World Health Organisation standard for paid parental leave. We are lobbying very strong to have changes made that will draw superannuation payments onto the existing paid parental leave amounts, because the gap that is out of the workforce the super gap that comes up, can translate into many thousands of dollars, as you know, when women retire. So there's a lot of tweaking of that scheme that needs to be done before it will satisfy the many women's organisations that we've met.
Let's talk about women's superannuation, because there is a Senate inquiry at the moment looking at the security of women in retirement. And as you say, there is a gap there on women's retirement incomes. And more broadly, a woman earns on average $700,000 less than a man does over her working lifetime, which adds up to, amongst other things, a large disparity in superannuation. What's the key to addressing the superannuation gap, the retirement income gap, in your view? What's the best thing, the first thing a government might look at doing?
Well, our very first wish is that we at least get superannuation paid on the parental leave that women take, regardless of how long that is, and to get people to realise that every gap that you take from that workforce under leave provisions like that is going to have a very long-term effect on the amount of savings that you have. There's more to be done to look at whether women and employers can have an opportunity to contribute more superannuation to account for that gap. There's also a lot to be said, Fran, for educating younger women, for making them understand that their lifelong economic well-being and financial security starts from the very beginning when they start work.
And is women's financial literacy, is that a priority or a theme of yours?
Absolutely. And we've got several programs. We've got a Girls to Do Anything website, which is encouraging women to look at broader education choices that deliver them better careers and better money.
Like the STEM subjects?
Absolutely. Science, technology, engineering, math, and the skilled trades, Fran. But if you look at those, you've also got to package it with, you know, women's ability to negotiate, which is a continuing factor when it comes to the gender wage gap. So we're developing tools for young women where they can go on at a really early age where they are making employment choices to try and ensure that their financial literacy is much better around the choices that they make. Live websites, you know, that link up with ASIC, money toolkits to tell them if they're going to take a career break, what sort of financial penalty might they pay for that further down the line. So it's a two-way effort between government and employees to start understanding the significance of that gender gap at retirement, or we will continue to see women retire in poverty.
Sandra Cook, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Sandra Cook is the chair of this alliance. It's called the Economic Security for Women Alliance, and a Girls Can Do Anything website. Can't believe we still need one of those. It's 13 to 9 on Breakfast.